Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. We're going to sort of finish up, hopefully, this thing about the provisions of God and what he's done for us. In review, you know, we talked about our condition at birth coming through Adam and being born sinners. Because he was disobedient and he sinned. So mankind had the root of sin in it. And then in the process of that, God knew that we needed forgiveness. And forgiveness comes through the blood of Jesus. So he supplied the blood of his own son. And his blood's eternal because the DNA comes from the Father. Even in the natural, the DNA comes from the Father. So the Jesus' birthing was from the Father, the Holy Spirit. That makes it eternal. All the other bloods that were sacrificed dried up. His doesn't. That's the reason he still saves today and forgives today, because his blood's eternal. So anyway, the blood was given for the remission of sins, and that's how our sins are taken care of. You know, we have a lot of Christians that are wrapped up in salvation being only the forgiveness of sins. It is the forgiveness of sins, but that is not all there are to salvation. So it's just the beginning, and we need the blood to be able to be cleansed, and that's how he supplied that. He supplied the blood with Jesus. So that everything would be covered. All our sins would be forgiven. Say, all our sins. All our sins. Say, forgiven. You know, but a lot of Christians will battle that thing about, well, you know, I did that. You know, so we battle this circle of what we sin and ask forgiveness, we sin and ask forgiveness, we sin and ask forgiveness. We just go through this cycle that keeps us in a whirlwind because our salvation is full to us when it's about the blood. It is about the forgiveness of sins in the blood. See, God knew that we needed additional help from him, which meant he supplied the cross. And the cross of Jesus put him to death. And in him, the Bible says in Romans that we were in him. When he was on the cross, we were in him. And we died when he died. It's our old nature. See, God had to handle the birthing situation in the natural because that's hereditary. So we inherited from Adam. So he said, I'm making you a new creature. I'm gonna take, but see, in order to make a new creature, he had to get rid of the old. He's not going to give you both of them. He's going to get rid of the old so the new can come. So you see God making his plan. You know, we did the illustration a couple of weeks ago and saw that the blood of Jesus needed to forgive us. And then the cross was needed for us to be in him. And then when he died, our old nature died. And it had to die so our new nature can come forth. And then when he was buried, the Bible says that we were buried with him. Say, I was buried with him. Say that. I was buried with him. You're buried with him. When he was buried, you were buried. So you're hidden. The Bible says that you're hidden in Christ. Well, I love that, don't you? And then when he rose from the dead, guess what? We rose too. And that's where the new man came forth. That's where the new creation, the new person, the new creature that we are. So now we're birthed in an eternal situation. You know, we have these things that he's provided, and then yet still there's so much struggle in being a Christian. There's so much struggle, and Pastor Terry did a wonderful job last week and today too concerning our thoughts and everything. If you didn't go, you need to be here next Sunday for Sunday school. as he breaks that thing apart to get you to understand, it starts here. You know, the battleground is here. But he's doing a great job with that. But I want to read some verses and see if we can get into some of this and before we close. So Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do. But I am doing the very thing I hate. Now, this is Paul. And he says, but if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law. So we're recognizing the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me. I'm wishing to do better. I'm wishing to do what God wants me to do. But the wishing is present with me, but the doing of the good is not. I wish to do better in my walk. I wish that I didn't sin. I don't want to sin. But my ability to be able to do it, not there. So he's thinking about this thing of overcoming sin. And by the way, did you know that the Bible doesn't tell you to overcome sin? Okay, all right, we'll move right along. I mean, it's like we've always believed that. The Bible didn't tell you to overcome sin. It's not in there. There's a few more things that ain't in there that we do, like plead the blood. I'm gonna rock some worlds today, I understand, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth. It ain't in there. Pleading the blood ain't in there. That was birthed out of a Pentecostal thing that said, I plead. You know, see, here's the thing. The blood works. I better not get into all that, but I'll tell you, just go search for yourself. And then let me know. But we're not here to, but Paul here is trying to overcome sin with his willpower. Have you ever tried to do that? I'm not going to do it. And you do it anyway. Am I speaking to real people in a real place? I'm not going to do it. I'll never do that again. Yep. Oh, me, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. I'm wishing is present with me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Okay. I find then a principle. Here's the discovery that Paul made, that Paul saw in his struggle of trying to do it by willpower. I find there's a principle in me that evil is present in me. The one who wishes to do good. I'm the one who wishes to do good, and evil's present in me. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. I joyfully concur. Yes, I believe. Yes, yes, I concur. I concur. Remember that movie about this this guy that he pretends to be a doctor. He don't know anything about doctoring at all. I forgot, catch me if you can or something like that. And he's standing there and he's just, but he's a fraud. His whole life's a fraud. And he's standing up beside two doctors and they bring him to the emergency room for her. And he don't know anything. He hadn't been to school. No. And then he tells this, what do you think? What do you think? And then they start saying, well, da, da, da. He said, I concur. And they walked away and said, boy, he's smart. Anyway, what'd you bring that up for? Wanted to. So, but I see a different law in the members of my body. I see a different law in the middle. He said, hey, here's the awakening for Paul. I see a different law working in my body, working in my flesh, waging war against the law of my mind. Here's the law. I'm wanting to do good. I'm wanting to do good. I'm wanting to do good in your mind. I want to do good, but I can't do it. I'm trying, but I can't do it. He said, warring against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Everybody say, law of sin. Sin is a law. The law of sin, which is in my members, which is in my flesh. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law, but on the other, with my flesh, I'm serving the law of sin. Now, there's a law of God. That's the law that God gave Moses. There's a law of God. And he said, I concur with that law. But I can't do it. And his discovery was, and this is what we lack in our discovery, in our walk with God so many times, is he's discovered that even though he knows God and even though he's trying his best to walk with God, he still fails because he returns to sin. And he said, here's my discovery. I have discovered that there is a law in the members of my flesh, and it's the law of sin. You know, a law is that thing, those principles and those rules and those guidelines that are there all the time. They never get tired. They never quit. They're always there. And the same condition, it repeats itself concerning law. So he says, oh, wait a minute. Here's revelation coming to him. I think I'm seeing what's happening here. Who's going to deliver me from this problem? And he said, thanks be to God. Then he realizes something and he goes on. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he goes on to chapter 8. By the way, this 6, 7, and 8 is one continuous thought about sanctification. 6, 7, and 8. So you can't really absorb chapter 8 until you understand chapter 6 and chapter 7. See, chapter 7, he's talking about here. Said, man, I'm trying my best. I'm wanting to do. I'm wishing. I really want to do this. You young people ever struggle with that? I really want to do good, but I don't. I really want to. I really want to please my mama. I want to please my dad. I want to please God. I really want to do it. I think I'm going to do that today. And then you fail. That's the law of sin in your members, in your flesh. Now, what's he thanking God about? Romans chapter 8, watch this. There is therefore now, everybody say now. Now. And the therefore is connected to what was before it. What was before it? He thanked God because God is the only one that's going to help him get out of this predicament. And here it comes. Are you ready? He said, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if your Bible has to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that is not in the original text. It may be italicized, means it's not an original. Or it may have a little letter, and then you go to the center column over here, and it says it's omitted. It's not in the original text. You know why it's not in the original text? Do you know why? I mean, it's hard to believe. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Paul is making a point that this is about his position, not his behavior. Why? His position is in Christ. By the way, this condemnation means there's no verdict. In other words, there's not even a verdict, a sentence. There's no verdict of judgment in you, for you. None. I say hallelujah. Why? Because that's my position. I am where? I am in Christ. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation. There's no verdict coming. There's no verdict coming. You're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting. Well, what's the verdict going to be? What's the verdict going to be? If you ever have to go to court, what's the verdict going to do? How are they going to judge it? What? He said, there's not one coming. I'm not going to give you one. There's no verdict of judgment for you. He judged sin on the cross. And then he goes on to explain why there's no verdict. There's no verdict coming of judgment for you. Why? You're in Christ Jesus. That's your position. Then he goes on and says this, for, because, you ready? Why is there not a verdict coming? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin of death. That's the because. Paul is recognizing, wait a minute now. I'm trying my best out of willpower to do this. And it's not going to work. Hasn't worked for him. Won't work for you. Hadn't worked for you. Will never work for you. Never work for me. You won't do it over willpower. Well, I just disagree. Okay. You can be wrong. If you can do it with willpower, go out and willpower, there is no law of gravity. I will it to be so, there's no law of gravity. And then watch out, because the planets are coming. And everything else that's out there, because there's no gravity. Anyway. For the law of the Spirit of life, when is this going to happen? When is this thing about you being set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life? When is this going to happen? Anybody? Do what? When is it going to happen? What did you say? What does the passage say? It says now, but what does this verse say about when this is going to happen? For the law of the Spirit of life, what does that mean? It's already happened. It's already happened. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free, has made you free from the law of sin and death. You're free from the law of sin and death. Well, no, that's what the Bible said. If you don't want to believe the Bible, you're in the wrong place. The law, by the way, notice that it didn't say the Spirit of life has made you free from sin and death. That sounds good to me, but that's not what he said. Why? Because he knew it needed more. See, the law didn't, like I said, it didn't say the Spirit of life made you free from sin and death. That sounded good, but he said, the law of the Spirit of life has made you free from the law that is in your members of sin and death. All right? He just didn't give you life. He gave you freedom from the law of sin and death. He did that because he gave you the law of the Spirit. He gave you life with authority. He gave you life with access, with privilege. He gave you life, but he gave you the law of his life. Oh, That's the reason when we begin to think, well, you know, I try to be good. See, the thing we're doing is we are yielding and being in agreement with what? The law of sin and death. And then when that happens, we're in covenant. Yeah, their agreement is a covenant with an agreement. We're in a covenant. We're in covenant with what the law of sin and death is doing. But he's told us that the law of sin and death is very, it's really not an influence, it's a law. It'll always be there. Even after you're born again, the law of sin and death is still in your flesh. That's what Paul said. But the law of the Spirit of life is greater than, much greater than the law of sin and death. Yes or no? Yes. How do I know that? Because the Bible, my Bible says that it said it made you free from the law of sin and death. So there's a greater law that's in you. There's a greater law that is in you. It is the law of the Spirit of life. And it's active. It's not going away. It's not tired. It won't wear out. There's a law that's in effect, and it happens over and over and over every day, every second, every moment. And it is above and beyond the law of sin and death. Even though the law of sin and death still exists, he said, I'm above it. Nope. So Paul is recognizing that, wait a minute, he's catching on to this thing. He finds himself in this dilemma. He said, wait a minute, I'm out of agreement with the law of the Spirit of life. For the law, what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. Notice that he didn't say the law was weak. He said the flesh is weak. God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why did he say in the likeness of sinful flesh? Because he never sinned. It was in the likeness of flesh. He was in the flesh. God himself came and inhabited the body of a man in the likeness of sinful flesh because he never sinned. He was sinless. And he made an offering for sin. And he condemned, here's this word, he condemned sin in the flesh. This word condemned means the verdict is made. And not only that, the sentence is carried out. What did he do? The verdict is made. I've seen this and I'm condemning this thing. The verdict's been made and it's going through. It's being done. What did he say? He said he condemned sin in the flesh. That's the reason he gave you the law of the Spirit of life so you could be under a different law. Amen. Pretty good, isn't it? In order that the requirement of the law, God's law, the law of Moses, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, and he goes on and says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, you need to understand this. What is he saying? He's saying, the reason I'm doing this is because you could not fulfill it, but I did this so that the law would be fulfilled in you. When you look at this, what does this say? What does this mean? What does it say? What is it saying? It means here's the law of God, and you've already tried to do it, and you can't do it. But you don't look to that law to fulfill the law. You look to Jesus, because he is the fulfillment of the law, and I'm in him, therefore I fulfill the law. The Bible, when it says, and if the requirement of the fulfillment of the law is filled you. You have fulfilled it. That word, when you study it, it's so beautiful. That word, when you study it, it says, okay, here's the law, and it'll show you your sin. That's what the law is good for. It'll show you your sin. It'll show you that you're not measuring up. But here, this is the requirement, and it's been fulfilled because it's been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and you're in Christ Jesus. That word, that thing about requirement of the law to be fulfilled, here's what it says. It's applauding that you are complete in Christ. The law is applauding. That didn't do anything for y'all, but it did a lot for me. See, I'm in Christ, and Christ has already fulfilled the law, and I'm in him, so the fulfillment of the law is in me. And the law is standing up applauding. He's complete. It was a requirement, but he is complete. I like it when the law of God is applauding. Don't you? Why? It's applauding the accomplishment that's been made in you. You didn't do it. He did it. And the law applauds it. Well, y'all get anything? See, I think it's time we start focusing on, watch this. I think we start focusing on the law of the Spirit of life and not giving attention to the law of sin and death, because I've already been freed from that. It means it does not have control over me. I can always go back to it, but it does not. I'm free from it. But if my focus is on the law of the Spirit of life, then I should be focused on everything that's about the Spirit of life. Everything that is about the Spirit of life, I should be knowing that. I should learn more of that. Yes or no? I mean, Pastor Terry was talking about that the other week. You know, about. You know, well, you think this thing, but what does the Bible say? You know, well, here's what the Bible says. So you're thinking this thing, and you get in agreement with the law of sin and death, and you're not in agreement with the law of the Spirit of life. Focus needs to be on the Spirit of life. And how it rules who we are. Do you know we're in the kingdom of God, but it's our kingdom? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's our kingdom. It's God's kingdom, and he's given it to us. It's our inheritance. His inheritance is his people. His inheritance is the people that's in the kingdom. Our inheritance is the kingdom. And do you know there's not one defeat in the kingdom of God? Not one. You live in an undefeated kingdom. And we need to be undefeated people living in an undefeated kingdom. Yes. We should be guided by the law of the Spirit of life and not the law of sin and death. Oh, my back hurts and I'm going to wonder what's wrong. Wonder what's wrong. Wonder what's wrong with me. You know, I tell you, we've been in agreement way too much with the law of sin and death. Amen. Well, I can't help it, so everybody's doing it. That's an agreement with the law of sin and death. Well, I'm not perfect, but no one else is. So that's justification in not doing right. So you're in agreement with the law of sin and the law of death. So I'm not saying you won't be tempted, and after Terry's talked about that this morning. I'm not saying you're not going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. But what was his operational value of life? the law of the Spirit of life. The law of sin and death was tempting. And it's not in his members, but it's in his flesh. The law of sin and death. So he gave the word of God. We need to start giving the word back to the law. Because the law of sin wants to continue to show you, tell you that you cannot do this and you have to do it. You're the one that has to do this. God said it's the law of the Spirit of life that makes you free. That's the reason we said that freedom from sin, you don't overcome sin. You get freed from it. We said the other week, if you ever tried to control yourself, I'm not going to get mad. And then you make it that time. You survive that first one. Think you've done real well. Well, then here comes the next one. And then here comes the next one. And here's the sieve that we're going through. Just to these tight places, tight spots, these tight places. Huh? And all this stuff, he says, I made it the first time. Maybe I can make it again. I'm not going to get mad. What? What do you want? Now, if I woke up a baby, I'm sorry. Then you respond to, what? And all of a sudden, it just boils out. Why? You know what's at work? The law of sin and death. Why? Because you agreed with the law of sin and death and not with the law of the Spirit of life. We got to change our thinking. We got to change our agreement. What is it that I'm really going to agree with? What am I going to agree with? Well, you'll never make it. Well, I got news for you. I've already made it. Haven't you? And the reason I made it is because he made me make it. He gave me the way to make it. He is my make it. I'm living, make it. Are you going to make it? I've already made it. He's in me. Colossians says this, you are already out of the fullness of Jesus, out of the fullness of Christ over in Colossians, out of the fullness of Christ, you have been made full. You have been made complete. I'm already full. I'm already complete. I'm sitting with him in the heavenlies. Aren't you? That's what the Bible says. That's where we are. Why? Complete. Why? He's already made me that way. I just got to live it out down here. I got to live it like it's so. Yes. Oh, do you really believe that? Well, I'll try. There you go. Well, guess what? You're back in Romans 7 doing it all over again. I'm trying my best. I'm trying to be good. Oh, yeah. I need to close, don't I? Page one is gone. Page two is on hold. Here's you another one. 1 Corinthians 1. How do I get here? Then you have to start saying what God says. You have to start saying what the law of the Spirit of life is saying. You have to be in agreement with the law of the Spirit of life. Be in agreement. Yep, that's me. And how is me? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To the church of God, verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who, watch this, have been sanctified. When's it going to happen? Already happened. Who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, watch this, saints by calling. How many of you were born again? Then go ahead and admit it. I'm a saint. I said that amongst some pastors one time, and they all like to fell out of their seat. And they said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I said, I'm not. I'm a saint. Oh, you are? Yeah, and if you got a problem with it, take it up with God. Because he called me that. Now, isn't that a little bold of you? And I said, oh, yeah, it's a lot bold of me. But it's true. Look here, it says saints by calling. He's called me saints by calling. With all who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, my Lord as well. Grace be unto you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him. And what are you enriched in him? You may as well say it. Half of you saying it. You may as well agree with it. He has enriched everything inside me. He's made me rich with everything that he's given. He's enriched everything inside me in speech and in knowledge. Even in the testimony concerning Christ, it has been confirmed in you. So that you're not lacking in any gift. Well, you know, I just can't do that. Well, it says you're not lacking. Awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end. And how's he going to confirm you? Next word. What does it say? Say it loud. Say it loud.
Blameless.
Say it again.
Blameless.
You know what you are to him? Blameless. I got you covered even to the end. And when I show up, I'm going to look at you and say, blameless. God. Oh, Jesus. Blameless. Why? There is not even a verdict coming. Why? I'm blameless. Why? I'm in him. He's in me. The only problem is we don't think that way. We think about all the other stuff. So we need to be able to, the Bible says that you're born again of an incorruptible seed. You know what that means? Now listen, I'm going to stir a pot. Can I stir something up? I already have, so I may as well just throw another one in. See, this thing, you know, let me get this out right. This thing is incorruptible. I've been born again. I've been born again, have you? And I've been born again of incorruptible seed. It cannot decay. It cannot be corrupted. Not one iota. I have been born. Watch this. I have been born of God. Have you? Have you been born of God? Then stop wanting to be adopted. This thing, the adoption of sons, when you go back and read that, Paul is talking. He said, you know, we've already tasted the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, but we're still eagerly awaiting our adoption as sons. He's not talking about being born again. The thing of adoption of sons, he's talking about being placed in maturity, being placed in fullness in our life, being placed in growing up, not being put... You can't adopt somebody that you... I can't adopt Scott. Scott's been born of me. You've been born of God. You're not craving for adoption. What you're eagerly looking for is the adoption being... That word means to be placed as a son. To be placed into maturity. He's growing. And by the way, he's growing you and me up. Well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. No, I said that wrong. That's his story and I'm sticking to it. When you get to this place, listen. This thing hit me a while ago. I almost said something. I got to look at. He said that this song that Susan does, and he follows. He chases me with what the goodness of God. What is it? His goodness is running after me. 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 The Bible says that he has crowned me. He has crowned me with his goodness. You know what that word crown means? It means he has corralled me. He has surrounded me. That's his crown. He has surrounded me with goodness. You know what that means? No matter which way I go, I'm going to run into his goodness. No matter, but the one in Psalm 65, who's got the Amplified Bible? I know Sylvia does. Sylvia, where are you? Amplified Bible. Somebody, that's 65:10 or something like that. It says this: he has crowned me, he has crowned the year, in other words, my being in any year. He has crowned me with abundance, with goodness. You got it? His abundance and the goodness. Watch this. And it says, and his chariot wheels drip.
What verse did you say?
With one of them. 65:11. Yes. He said, and his chariot wheels, what does that mean? It means he's riding. He's riding as a king. His chariot wheels drip with fatness, provisions, the anointing. That's what I'm going to start confessing every morning. You know, Terry was talking about, you know, he gets up every morning, he talks about this. I'm going to start confessing. You know, you have crowned me with goodness. You have surrounded me with your goodness. And not only that, you're riding through on your chariot, and one of them says a loaded down wagon. And it's overflowing stuff. He's got so much for me, it's just falling off right in the presence of my, where I'm at. He said, did you have it? Oh, where is it at? 11. Where's 11? What's it after? 10? This is Amplified. You're fooling with me, man. You're messing with me. This is the Amplified side over here, which the unamplified, I couldn't hear it. So here we go. 11. Thou crownest the year of thy goodness. He crowns it with goodness, and thy paths drip fatness. No, the Amplified. No, that's not that. That's ASV.
Life-giving rain is dropping from your footsteps.
Verse 11. Oh, your crown, you crown the year with your bounty and your goodness. You crown my life with bounty and goodness, and the tracks of your chariot wheels drip with fatness. Boy, I'm going to start saying that every day. You know why? That's in agreement with the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. So, y'all with me?
Yeah, it's hers.
No, it's yours. I'm giving your phone away. Giving your phone. I know, guys. I got to go. Listen, I just really got to quit. You got to give yourself some things. Listen to this one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities and heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who crowns me with the loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things, and that your youth is, my youth is renewed like the eagle. But start saying that every morning. Start agreeing. It's your agreement with the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, stand to your feet. You say, he's not quitting. He's going to talk another 5 minutes after we stand up. Did you get anything out of this? Oh, there's so many other scriptures that we could give to you, and we may give them to you next week. I don't know what God's going to do, but we'll ask him. heard somebody say one time, said Ronald Reagan was talking about God, and a reporter said, well, how do you know he exists? How do you know he's God? Ronald Reagan's response was, well, I talked to him this morning. Boy, I just love that. I talked to him this morning. Listen, we've got to start confessing in agreement with the law of the Spirit of life. So anything that comes up that is not in agreement with the Spirit of life, not in the Spirit of life, you begin to agree with the Spirit of life. So such as, I'm not through stirring, such as abortion. It's a law in the land, and I'm not in agreement with that. I'm in agreement with the law of Spirit of life. So I'm not going to be in agreement with that. Are y'all hearing me? Well, I'm going to stand up against that, because it's about life. Start being in agreement with his living. We're living in him. So be in agreement with what he says about you. Stop agreeing with this thing called the law of death. Well, I just wished I'd just go on this. What? You're in agreement with death. He ain't ready for you to go on. If he was ready, you'd be gone. Be in agreement with life. Are y'all saying go ahead and pray? Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, God, for your provisions. Thank you, God, that you have surrounded us with your goodness. Everywhere we turn is your goodness and your bounty. And you're riding through where we're standing, and you're riding in your chariots, and the wheels that's on it is dripping with fatness, dripping with provisions. And Lord, that's our confession to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come back next week if it's not raining. Come on back. I saw where it takes 90 gallons to baptize people, and it only takes 9 drops to keep them away.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.